Dublin's Talking Sport.
Welcome to Dublin's Talking Sports podcast with me, Ken Doherty, and my good friend, Reggie Corrigan. Thanks for tuning in to catch up on the latest GAA, football, rugby, and all the crack. Enjoy the show, and don't forget, rate and review wherever you get your podcasts.
Another great show for you this week on Dublin's Talking Sports. Stephen O'Brien reviews last week's Packers game over in Tottenham Hotspur Stadium and all of the goings-on this week in the NFL. In rugby, we'll be talking to Will Slattery about all things URC and in particular the pressure on Munster at the moment to get a result. Declan Drake talks to Brian Talty about all of the latest GAA news. And of course, in football, we look back on that wonderful win for Ireland against Scotland for Vera Poe's team with Alan Cawley. And we also talk about all the domestic games. So download the show now wherever you get your podcast.
Good morning, Reg. How are you?
I'm very good. What a great week it was.
It was, wasn't it?
Just amazing watching that game. I mean, we were all hopeful chatting here last week about it, but everybody thought that that game was going to be unbelievably difficult for the Irish team to beat Scotland away from home. Everything about it, injuries, all of that stuff. And to see them get the goal, see the celebrations afterwards, what a game.
It was amazing. And what a finish it was, wasn't it? Goal was just brilliant.
Absolutely.
And just the way they held out as well. You know, they played great. And they've come through, you know, a tough qualifying campaign as well. And the joy in the faces, apart from the dressing room song, everything was rosy, but they deserved it. And I'm delighted for them, you know. And something to really look forward to next year as well for them. And for the whole of the country, you know.
Yeah, there's no question about it. It was something special. And I think probably what struck me was the reaction to it from everybody and the way that they, the joy that was around it. Like I said, one thing my missus was saying to me, she's kind of, isn't it great to see Aidan, my middle lad, glued to it, you know, watching the game and glued to it, because there was a time when they wouldn't even watch women's football,
exactly,
and now it's they're glued to it, watching it and loving it. So I think
absolutely. And if you go back only, you know, and it's not that long ago, Reg, where, you know, some of those girls and talking to Stephanie Roach that were changing in toilets.
Oh, we remember it well.
And they didn't have enough money, and they were campaigning, and they stood strong together, you know, and they campaigned for what they deserved. They got it. They got the funding, and look where they are now. And I'm sure the funding is gonna roll in, and it should do, because they deserve it, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm delighted for them. You know, it's really great boost for the country. It's great inspiration for a lot of young girls, you know, to take up soccer, take up the game, and hopefully, you know, that we will get some even, you know, better girls and better teams in the future. You know, it's fantastic. Great news for the country.
Well, they certainly put in a good performance, but it kind of, the thing about it was, though, it wasn't just a one-off performance where they got lucky, and they were very good on the night. There was plenty of chances. Now, I know Scotland had chances too, and obviously the save as well was a big part of it. Brilliant. You know, it could have been a totally different game if that hadn't been the case, but you know, they were good for it. It wasn't a lucky win.
No, not at all. No, not at all. It wasn't lucky at all. As I said, they came through some tough qualifying matches. And I thought Vera Powell, she got her tactics right. She's a brilliant manager. And, it's just everybody was just, so excited. And the stuff that went on in the dressing room afterwards, it was unfortunate, you know. But let's just, you know, forget about it. They got enough stick about that now. Let's just draw a line through it and move on. And look forward to their campaign now next in the summer. You know,
there was a classy finish as well. Amber Barrett coming on as
brilliant.
A sub,
absolutely brilliant.
It was
the way
so difficult
it as well. That was one of mine. It'd be a toe poke into the corner. That was
what are yours?
I'm Riddell from the toe poke.
I don't think a five-a-side soccer pitch, kind of counts the same way.
No,
you know,
no, 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 at all. But no, she did brilliant. I mean, the run, the speed, the breakaway, and everything, and just the calmness of the way she put it away was brilliant for her. You know, and it was just fantastic. It's very exciting, like, you know.
It was, no doubt about it. Great win. So the best of luck to them. And we look forward to that now. Another thing to look forward to next year, no question about it. How's everything going with you?
Everything is great. Yeah, I've had a really good week, actually. I was down in Carlow. We opened, I was delighted to open our first sort of centre of excellence for Snooker and Billiards Ireland, which is in the centre of Carlow with some wonderful like professional snooker tables and lighting and coaching. It's really a wonderful facility, and it's great for any budding you know, boy or girl or man or woman to come down and want to improve their game. It's, it really is wonderful. I was inducted into the Hall of Fame there during the week.
Congratulations.
It was really, really good. So I've had a really good week. I'm down in Dungarvan today. I played Limerick Golf Club the other day. I played Carlow Golf Club and Fermoy yesterday, and Dungarvan we're playing today.
Sunny southeast.
Beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful. And the weather's been gorgeous as well. I mean, for October, you can't believe how good the weather's been. So, yeah, been playing a bit of snooker in the night time, a bit of golf in the day, and getting ready for you, Rez, getting ready for you.
Don't stress yourself out with the bit of snooker and the day job. You know, there's no need for that. Just keep with the golf.
Making
more out of the golf playing those side games with Stephen Hendry anyway.
Yeah.
What about United? They wanted to leave it fairly late this week, didn't they?
They left it very late in the Europa. I felt sorry for Neil Lennon, actually. I like Neil Lennon. He's a good guy. He's had some really good years up at Celtic, and then he sort of went a little bit, you know, missing since he left Celtic. But I thought the way he managed that team, both in the home leg and the away leg at Old Trafford, I thought that team played really, really well, very well organised, and it would have been a great feather in his cap for him, not for United fans, but they needed a win to try and top the group. So they got a big game against Sociedad. It's the final game of that group. But it was very, very late. They were a bit frustrated, but I thought that team and the goalkeeper had an absolute, brilliant match. He was man of the match for sure, you know.
No question. Yeah, no, it was, I suppose it just, like, it was never expected to be any other way. I think they were 11-1 on or something. It was just absolute nuts, the odds on that game. But I think the bigger worry or the biggest question there is just the performance
scoring.
And the way they played.
I think the biggest worry for United now is scoring. I mean, Ronaldo got them out of jail against Everton. He scored a wonderful goal last week, you know, to bounce back from the City game, which was a good win for them, in all fairness, you know, a good performance, like, other than that. But they need a prolific goal scorer, you know, and Ronaldo is like 37. I don't think he's going to be as prolific as someone like Haaland. So they'll probably need to invest maybe in January or definitely in the summer in a really good centre forward. Rashford can't be a centre forward. I don't think so. I don't think he's that type. So they need someone who's going to score a lot of goals. You know, the other teams have got them. You know, you definitely need them, and they're going to be lacking in that department. It might cost them in the end, you know.
A tricky one as well tomorrow against Newcastle.
Yeah, very tricky, yeah. Newcastle are playing brilliantly, you know, and they've had a good manager, Eddie Howe, done really well. You know, from almost, fighting a relegation battle last season, look where they are now. Doing brilliant. Bought some good players, got good investment. And I think they're going to be a real threat for them, going to be a real test for United at Old Trafford. You know, looking forward to Liverpool-Man City, though.
Absolutely, what a game
that
should
be. Liverpool at home, struggling. They had a good win against Rangers, obviously, but I wouldn't really read into that too much. I think they've been really struggling in the league and struggling up front, and maybe that hat-trick from Salah might sort of kickstart his Premiership campaign, because he's been quite quiet, I have to say, during the beginning of this season. So a big game for Liverpool.
Yeah,
and a real test for them, you know.
Like, Klopp has kind of conceded the league, but publicly, but in his mind he'd be saying, well, we're not going down without fighting for the rest of the season either. So I think, big win, 7-1, that doesn't really count, I suppose.
No.
But they need to start laying down a bit of a marker in the league now and pushing back for that top four.
Yeah, they're just dropping points, aren't they? I mean, it would have been very disappointing dropping points to Brighton at home after coming back from 2-0 down and conceding late on for a draw, you know. So they've dropped a lot of points. There are a lot of points behind Arsenal and Man City. So they need to bounce back, and they need to go on a real run. So it'd be good for them, and I think for the league as well, for them to maybe beat City the weekend, you know. But it's going to be very, very tough. City are just one of the best football teams that I think has ever played in the Premiership. There's no doubt about that.
Mm.
Players they have, and they've strengthened with Haaland. He could be one of the best goal scorers of all time in the Premiership. So it's going to be very, very tough for them. There's no doubt about that. But Anfield, you know, it's always been a fortress for Liverpool. Very tough place for any team to go. The noise and the atmosphere. And it's just, it'll be a great match. I'm really looking forward to that one, you know.
Declan is going to stay with me as well for the football, as is the one and only Alan Cawley. Good morning, Al. How are you?
I'm good, Reggie. Good, Declan. All is well.
Yeah, all is wonderful after Tuesday night, I have to say. What a game that was. Wonderful performance by the ladies in green, Vera Powell's team, getting there, getting the 1-0 victory. We were hopeful last week of it, but did we really believe it? I'm not so sure, but they did it for us.
That was incredible, Reggie. Yeah, I was lucky enough to be there, and they played so well on the night. It was, as you could expect in games like that, which are going to be tight. Scotland had large spells where they dominated the ball as well, created the odd chance, obviously the penalty, but I thought the girls handled themselves really well. And when Amber came on, and that chance arose, because in the second half, to be fair to Scotland, they started very strongly in the second half, and midway through that I was thinking we might be in a bit of bother here, because particularly the two girls in midfield, Cuthbert and Caroline Weir, were beginning to dominate. But they remained calm, the girls, and when Denise obviously picked out that pass for Amber Barrett, there was no doubt whatsoever when she went through, and it was some finish. So overall, I think they deserve it on the basis of the campaign that they put in as well, Reggie. The last few months have been absolutely brilliant, and what a moment for them and for the country as well. I think it's going to be brilliant now that they've qualified. You see obviously all the interest in it, and I think that's only going to heighten even more when the World Cup comes around.
Of course, all the interest is around the goal from Barrett, and what a great finish that was. But I have to say, and it was said as well in commentary at the time, Courtney Brosnan's save on that penalty early on was really, you know, if it wasn't for that, it probably would never have happened.
Yeah, absolutely. And to be fair to Courtney Brosnan, I've mentioned it a few times, even in the matches when we're covering them, she's been the star of the campaign. Strange, you know, if obviously Katie gets all the plaudits and Denise O'Sullivan, and rightly so, because they're brilliant players and they've been brilliant throughout the campaign, as have one or two others. But I just think Courtney, because of there was a question mark over the number one position at the start of the campaign, and it was up for grabs between herself and Grace Maloney, and she was given the jersey on the opening night, and she's grown from then on, Reggie, game after game. She's been absolutely brilliant. I think she has 5 clean sheets in the campaign as well out of the 8 games. So she's been absolutely magnificent. And what was lovely about the other night, as I say, you have your household names, the likes of Katie, the likes of Denise, other girls that have stepped up during the campaign as well and chipped in with goals. But what was lovely the other night, it was like it was if it was Courtney's moment, saving the penalty, and then Amber coming on scoring as well, who's another unsung hero also, because she's not a regular starter, and for her to come on and score the goal, I thought it was lovely and fitting that the two girls who because as we all know, Reggie, you won't get anywhere with individuals, it's all about the team game, and nowadays even the squad game, and for those girls to have their moment in the sun the other night, I thought it was lovely.
Yeah, good morning, Al. Declan here.
Morning, Declan.
I think, the you know, for me, looking at the whole campaign, where it really took off for me and gave me the belief that we could do it was the night in Stockholm against the Swedes. Mm. The draw that we got there that night, you know, to go to a place like that against a team like that and quality of opposition and get that result, that really set it up. So, you know, I mean, I don't know what it is about Dutch women managing football teams, with Serena Weigman with England, and now of course you've got Vera Powell, who has done a fantastic job with this team and can take her place at the World Cup finals. It's going to be absolutely fantastic next summer, as you say.
Yeah, and we're there on merit as well, Declan. As you say, we've gone to places like Sweden, one of the top nations in the world in women's football, and we got that draw. We also, if you remember, we were third seed and went to Finland, who were second seed, and we beat them away from home as well and beat them at home. So they were very much there on merit, the girls. And as you say, to go through the playoff route then, go away to Scotland. Scotland were fancied as well, higher ranked than us. And they fancied themselves over there as well, even from just being around the place the day before and on the day. They certainly fancied themselves. So they've gone about it the right way, they've gone about it the hard way, and they're there on merit, and it's absolutely fantastic.
It is indeed, and we look forward to next year. I think the whole country will be out in force. We could be looking at Italian 90 all over again. I think that's the way it's feeling. There's that much interest in it. Okay, new boss in Bowes, Declan Devine taking over there, but it's not getting any easier. They went down last night 3-1 to Pats.
Yeah, if he didn't know before this, and Declan would have, about the job that he has on his hands, I think that was pointed out to him last night as Usain in Richmond Park. But it's been there on the cards for quite a while, ever since Keith left. The results, obviously, Derek Pender has stepped in, and it's kind of just trying to consolidate them towards the end of the season until they did get a new manager, and now to have appointed Declan. So he has a big job on his hands, but it's a great job as well, Reggie. It's a big club. There's a lot of good things in place in Bohemians. a decent squad of players as well that he'll have to work with. He'll obviously have to get one or two out and bring in one or two as well. But I think for any manager that's going in there, I think it's an attractive place to go, because there's been a lot of good with Bohemians over the last 2, 3, 4 years. But they have to get it right on the pitch now, and hopefully Declan does well.
As a manager, though, Alan, if you were in his position, do you maintain the services of the likes of Derek Pender and Trevor Crawley, or do you go with your own tried and trusted lieutenants that you might have had in place at Derry over the years?
Yeah, I'd be very much, Declan, of the view that you bring in your own people. That would have always been my view over the years, that you need your own people around you, and people that you can trust, and people who have been there with you before and will be there with you again. Now, that's not to say he can't trust Trevor Crawley or Derek Pender. I know Trevor very well too, and he's a very good man. And also Derek Pender, who I know really well, and he's a great fella. And if I did have one tip for Declan, I'd be absolutely keeping Derek Pender, because he's very much of the fabric of Bohemians Football Club, and he will help him. But I think Declan needs to bring in maybe one or two of his own people as well. That's just my own view, not just on Bohemians, any club or any manager. If you're going into a club replacing a previous manager, I think you have to bring at least one or two of your own people with you.
Yeah, we just have to see how that unfolds. Okay, across the water, it's a pretty lively weekend. There's plenty going on, but I suppose the pick of it all, of course, will be tomorrow, the Liverpool City game. Klopp has already conceded that the league is over for them, but you know, I think that's a bit tongue-in-cheek. I think that doesn't mean they're going to give up. They'll be fighting tooth and nail the whole way, but this is going to be the real test of where Liverpool are at after that great victory during the week.
Yeah, it may be tongue-in-cheek in terms of the fact that, like, of course they're going to fight, Reggie, but the league is over.
Oh, it is over in terms of title, yeah, absolutely.
I definitely think so. You look at, they're too far behind, and you look at City, how good they are. And look at your club, who I'm sure you'll want to talk about as well, who are flying high. But just for Liverpool, I think there's obviously issues and problems going on. I think Klopp was making comments now about the fact that Saudi states are running football clubs and they're finding it hard to compete. And that's coming from Liverpool. So if they're finding it hard to compete with the money they can spend and other big clubs, imagine what it's like for everyone else. So, but that's, I suppose, a discussion for another day. But certainly from Liverpool's point of view, it is a big game, a big test. But they always do well in those big games against the likes of City. So I won't be watching it. I'll be down in Waterford, Reggie, for the Cup semi-final. So I'll have to tune into Match of the Day tomorrow night and see how it goes.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you did mention my team, so I'll mention those as well. We're away to Leeds, but that was a great victory last week. And I suppose it was tit for tat all the way, and you were kind of wondering, as an Arsenal supporter, are we going to end up blowing this? You know, we keep letting them back into it. But to be fair, they showed great composure throughout the whole match and got the job done.
Yeah, I think Arsenal have been brilliant so far, Reggie. They've been I know Man City are getting all the plaudits, and rightly so, in Haaland. But I think they've been the team of the season so far, just basically because of where they've come from, I suppose, last year, and what Arteta's been trying to do. And it's a good sign for clubs as well, and for chairmen who are quick to press the trigger on managers. But if you're actually given a bit of time to implement exactly what you're trying to do, and we see that now with Arteta, this is kind of the result of it. And I think it's great, and I think they've been absolutely brilliant. They're great to watch as well. They play good football. They're going well in Europe also. And I don't think they'll win the league or anything like that, but I do think they'll be in the top four. And I think it's very, very promising for Arsenal in terms of the future as well, because a lot of young, exciting players also. And I think if they have a really good season like they're having at the moment, and he can top that up with another one or two next year, then I think they might be in with a title challenge. But it's certainly looking very promising for Arsenal.
Yeah, and then you talk about that in terms of the managers, and you're absolutely correct with the Arsenal board and the faith that they've shown in Arteta. But at the other end of the table, if you look at Nottingham Forest with Cooper, he could have been gone at any other club well by this stage, but the club rewarded him with a new contract, which shows their faith in him, and there's serious pressure on him now to deliver. But I think he's got the ability to do it. What do you think?
I thought it was brilliant, Declan. It almost restored my faith in football again when they did this, because one of my pet hates is when a manager gets a team up from the Championship, which is a brilliant achievement. And people, I don't think people realise just the gulf going from the Championship up to the Premier League. And that's why we see all the teams, not just Nottingham Forest, all the teams struggle in that first season when they come up from the Championship in the Premier League. And it's nearly just success to finish 17th or 18th. But that's because of the reality of just how big the gulf is. And of course, Nottingham Forest, no different to any of the others, are finding it difficult and struggled, and he obviously brought in a lot of new players, and that's going to take time. But I thought it was brilliant that they came out and gave him a new contract and backed him, because you look at what went on at Bournemouth, and it was the total opposite with Scott Parker, and I thought that was really kind of shabby from Bournemouth, what they did and how they treated Scott Parker as well. So I thought it was brilliant from Forest, and hopefully they do give him the time now to back them with the new contract, let him get on with the job. He's got them into the position that they're in. And I do think he has the capabilities of doing well and getting him out of it as well.
Yeah, we're tight on time, Alan, but I have to mention United, poor during the week again. You know, they've got a tough one at home to Newcastle, probably hoping home advantage will get them through. Give me a prediction on that one.
Yeah, tough game, Reggie, but they had a good win against Everton last week, but Newcastle have turned a bit of a corner themselves and are a decent team. A draw I'm going to go for.
Stephen, oh my God. What happened? Nightmare.
I know, Reg, yeah. I mean, it's like that thing of they had us in the first half and then we just capitulated. Yeah, what a nightmare. God. But the only consolation for me on a personal level, Reg, is that I was doing watch parties in London. If people don't know what we're talking about, Reg, every time the Packers get spanked, likes to say, Stephen, what the hell, man? So that's what's going on here. But yeah, we got spanked, Reg, again in London. But anyway, consolation for me, I had two watch parties going on, 200 people in each. I was running back and forward in London, and I didn't even get to see the game. So it was incredible. I mean, that Sunday went really well for me. It was very social. But then, yeah, I watched the game back on the plane, and God, we absolutely disintegrated in the second half, Reg.
Yeah.
Not good.
It was disappointing. I did feel for you. And I genuinely don't like rubbing it in because I've become a sort of an add-on Packers fan because of your association. But yeah, I actually thought they were going to win that game. So I was a bit surprised, to be honest with you. So it probably was a bit of a surprise to some people as well that result went the way it did.
Yeah, because you know what, Reg? The Giants are kind of seen as pretenders. And I'm saying that now and it sounds like sour grapes. But they are. I mean, the bookies, you know, it's very hard to beat the bookies. We know that based on my acca, right? I mean, everyone's well aware of that now. But, it's getting increasingly more difficult with the rules and all this sort of stuff. However, the Packers were favourites going into that game. It was a home game. Also, it was the biggest representation of home fans at a London game by bar none, by
yeah,
far.
Yeah.
There were so many Chiefsheads in the stadium. The Go Pack Go chants were going. So it wasn't even a case that the Packers had to put up with the fact that, you know, there was weird noise there, you know, there was sort of neutral fans just screaming, shouting and eating popcorn when they shouldn't have. It was a real home game atmosphere. The Packers literally just disintegrated in the second half, couldn't get anything done on offense. The defense completely melted. And again, this was coming up against Reg, Danny Dimes for the New York Giants, who's seen as a bit of a pretender himself. I think he's the 18th best, and I say best with kind of a tinge of sarcasm here, quarterback. But credit to the Giants. You know, they got it done. Their defense stepped up. We couldn't get out and going. And I say we as if I play for the team, but we all do. So, yeah, it was a bit of a shocker, all right. But the Giants, we're going to find out this week, Reg, if the Giants are still pretenders or not, because they're going up against the Ravens, and they should get spanked in that game. But if they don't, you know, it's one of those things where you look at it. I don't feel bad as a Packers fan, because at least they beat the Ravens as well. But we'll see what happens there. But, yeah, just a manky game.
Okay. Right, well, meanwhile, back in the home of the lawsuit, let's call it, live broadcast catches Devontae Adams pushing over a photographer. And now there's criminal charges being filed. I'd say the photographer is licking his lips and looking at his bank balance.
You're not being cynical, Reg. I mean, he could have had a serious injury from that.
Yes.
You know what he said?
So he broke his lens.
Broke his lens, yeah, God. I mean, it's an extension of his body, they say, if you're a photographer. Now, look, the Raiders lost by a point. Devontae Adams went from my beloved Packers and Aaron Rodgers back-to-back MVP to Derek Carr. And he starts saying, almost comically, and people didn't know whether he was taking the pee during the offseason, because it's like, it's hard when you go from one Hall of Fame quarterback to another. And people went, really? Derek Carr for the Raiders? But anyway, they lose that game by a point. Devontae Adams is walking off the field, and he's caught live pushing over the photographer. And there's two different angles, Reg, and I've got to be honest with you, both of them don't look great. There's one of them that looks like he extends his hands and just literally pushes him out of the way because he's annoyed. And there's another one that makes it look like Devontae Adams had his head down and the photographer ran it in front of him and kind of startled, if you will, and it sounds very dramatic. He pushes the photographer over and he falls to the ground. Either way, you know, whatever people are trying to come up with excuses for Devontae Adams, he came out, Reg, on Twitter and apologised and said, look, it was a mixture of frustration. We just lost the game by a point. He kind of just ran out in front of me and I shouldn't have acted that way, and I want to give him an apology. It was kind of like a half-baked apology, though, because he was kind of, if he sees this tweet, tell him sorry. And then after that, Reg, in the post-game, he apologised to the media and said, look, if you know, I'm really sorry to that guy. I shouldn't have done it. So anybody saying that, oh, it's the photographer's fault, he shouldn't have been where he was, the security's fault, they should have cleared the tunnel and made sure that he didn't run across where the players are, it just looks bad. And this is a guy, Reg, his face is slapped everywhere. He's a superstar. He's always been a great guy, nice guy in Green Bay. I don't think this is indicative of his character, but you can't be going around pushing paps when it comes to the tunnel. But as you said, the guy falls over, right? He gets himself in by private means, is how they phrased it, to a hospital, and he's claiming that he has headaches, Reg, whiplash, possible minor concussion. So they've charged Devontae Adams with a misdemeanor assault, which means he has to show up in court. They produce court documents with Hattie's address, which people sent around the media, which is really irresponsible as well. But look, it's really bad for his image. He can't be going around pushing photographers. He's facing a potential fine by the NFL as well, and maybe a suspension. And of course, as you say, maybe a big payday coming up for Mr. Cameraman.
Maybe, yeah, right. Maybe is not the word I'd use. It's I give you my opinion of it. We need to get a grip on reality here. The criminal charge has been pushed for pulling him over. Of course he shouldn't have done it. He comes out and apologises. Like, let's take a step back here, you know. He pushed a guy.
Yeah.
You know, what you're looking at in the end of the day is you're going to lead it down a path where photographers won't even be allowed into the tunnel in time, so it doesn't happen again.
Great
and then
point.
They won't get the photographs, and then they'll be giving out about that, and where do you go? So just look at storming
great
at
point,
people.
Reg, because that's what the media are saying. They're saying, don't go and start going deep down into this rabbit hole with this type of thing, because as you said, they'll take their credentials away.
That's
and
it's gone. They'll be giving out because they can't get the juicy shot. How can you get a juicy shot when you're sitting 14 rows back from the sideline? That's the way it'll all go.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the almighty dollar in the lawsuit. Let's move on. Head coach Ron Rivera, he caused another stir by criticising his quarterback Carson Wentz in social media and then defending him in a expletive-laden speech after Thursday Night Football. What's going on there?
Yeah, I was wondering why you didn't play it on the intro, Reg. Why you didn't go and sort of bleep it all out. It just
wouldn't
even
wouldn't have been that left.
Massive bleep. just a high press, and then the rest was just bleep. Yeah, look, he kind of brought it on himself. Ron Rivera, the Washington Commanders, this was a team who's in the mire because their owner is, you know, you just read the media reports about him. It's a pretty disgusting atmosphere that's going on there with the Washington Commanders. Ron Rivera is a guy who went through cancer, beat cancer. Such a brilliant dude. Really good coach as well everywhere he's went, but he's really struggling with the Commanders. So they got this quarterback called Carson Wentz, and he's kind of seen as a bit of a failure in the league. And the rumours was that Dan Schneider, the owner of the Commanders, kind of like what we see with Premier League sometimes when we had Roman Abramovich and all that with Chelsea, where he'd fancy a player and bring him in and say, right, he's your problem now, deal with him. And that's what they thought happened with Carson Wentz. And that didn't help matters when they interviewed Ron Rivera earlier in the week, and they said, you know, how come all of your division teams are doing so well and you're not doing well? And he answered it with one word, Reg, and that was quarterback. And I mean, if that's not going to cause controversy with the guy who leads your team, I don't know what will. So then he had to backpedal and explain himself to the team. And of course, the media in America, and this is why it's very hard to get access to players and to coaches, because they're always after that sort of juicy headline. So again, they start pressing them on the Carson Wentz thing after the Thursday Night Football game, after they barely squeaked a win in what was an absolutely dreadful Thursday Night Football game. And he came out, as you said, and it was swearing and blinding and saying, you know, all of this stuff that Dan Schneider picked him and I didn't is nonsense. He used different words and he's coming to defend them now. But you know what? It's just another bruise for that team that kind of suck anyway. Their ownership sucks and he's always in the news. There's lawsuits there and really grisly stuff coming out. Ron Rivera, Reg, although he's a great coach and a great guy, he's fighting for his job here. And he either has to go to bat for his quarterback or admit that that's not the case, but that's not going to help team morale and then they disintegrate. Just a mess. When you're out in the media, and you know what, at the end of that interview, he stormed off.
Yeah, when you're explaining, you're losing. Always the way.
Declan Drake in this section of the programme, and quite a busy one it is too. We're going to start with ladies football and congratulate Michelle Davran of Kilmacud Crokes, who during the week was selected as the Croke Park Hotel LGFA Player of the Month for September. That follows up her Player of the Match performance in her club's first ever county senior title success over Thomas Davis recently at Parnell Park. It's a big weekend for Crokes ladies on the pitch too, because tomorrow afternoon they open their Leinster Senior Club Championship campaign at the quarterfinal stage when they welcome the Meath champions St. Peter's of Dunboyne to Park de Burka. Quite sensibly, this one has been brought forward to 1:30 tomorrow afternoon to allow spectators every opportunity to get across to Parnell Park for the Senior One football final, which we will discuss later in the company of Brian Taldy. But we wish the Crokes ladies every success in their endeavours there tomorrow. It'll be a tough game against the Meath champions, there's no doubt about that, the team that beat Vauxhall Cabinteely in the Leinster Championship last year. And the under 16 All-Ireland ladies football team that won the All-Ireland back in July, I think it was, well, they got the fruits of their labours last night because they received their All-Ireland medal. So congratulations one and all there once again. And hopefully that's the springboard for many more medals at underage and indeed into the senior ranks in years to come. Now, this is not a hurling week, but we have very pleased to mention this particular event coming up on Friday, November the 4th. The Friends of Dublin Hurling Annual Awards Night takes place at the Bonnington Hotel, as I say, on Friday, November the 4th. It's the first time since 2019 that the event has taken place in person. Absolutely fantastic that these events are back. Tickets cost €45 each, and they are available at the following address, info@fodh.ie. And congratulations indeed to Maura Scully as well on her election as a secretary of that organisation, taking over from Humphrey Kelleher for the moment there. And Friends of Dublin Hurling, they're a fantastic group of dedicated people who support the game of hurling in the county with a tremendous passion and enthusiasm. So if you're interested in hurling, that promises to be a fantastic night on Friday the 4th of November. As I say, tickets once again €45, available from info@fodh.ie. Well, it is a football weekend in the capital, of course, and Senior Championship 1 and 2 finals tomorrow afternoon at Parnell Park, St Vincent's and Sylvester's at 2:15, followed by the clash of Kilmacud Crokes and Nafina from 4:30. Shortly, we'll be talking to former Dublin selector Brian Talty, looking ahead to those two games. But before that, we must mention the Intermediate Championship final taking place this afternoon at county headquarters from 3:30. It's the Fingal Ravens against Naive Barrogue, two big north side clubs there going head to head in the Nell this afternoon. Fantastic stuff. The best of luck to both teams in their efforts to win the Intermediate County title. And I don't know what it is about football in Dublin at the moment, but just looking at the list of teams that are playing there today and tomorrow, heavily, heavily populated by the north side. Only the Crokes standing up for us Southsiders in football this weekend. Okay, two tomorrow then, and it's a little bit like Christmas Eve today for football fans in the county because of the blockbusting games we're expecting at county headquarters tomorrow. First up, the Senior 2 final between St Vincent's and St Sylvester's. Delighted to be joined on the line by a man who knows a little bit about life out in Malahide, Brian Talty. Good morning to you. Good morning, Brian.
Morning, Declan.
How are things?
Good, good.
Good stuff. As I say, you know a little bit about life out in Malahide with Sylvester's, and fantastic to see them back in a county championship final again. And of course, promoted to Senior One next year, as indeed are St Vincent's.
I think that's a big thing for both teams, you know, that they're true now back up to Senior A football again. So, but it's always nice to get a cup as well, Declan. So it'd be nice to win the Senior B for either of these teams. And I think because Declan, both teams are in transition really, and Derek Roach of Sylvester's and Tony Dunn and Vincent's have brought a lot of young guys into the team, so it'd be good for them and good for their confidence to actually win a cup as well.
12 months ago, or just under 12 months ago, you were sitting here in the studio in a state of shock, really, that St Vincent's had been relegated from the Senior One Championship. Yet here they are, 12 months later, back where they belong at the top table, and after an emotional period, of course, in the club as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure the lads will be pushing it again today, you know. And as I said to you, you know, Tony Dunn, the manager, has brought in a lot of young guys, some very impressive lads like Sean Lowry, who plays the full forward, Shane O'Leary, these guys. But, you know, he's added to that. You have the likes of Brendan Egan, Nathan Mullins, Gavin Burke, and maybe Dermot Connolly. We don't know. He didn't play the last day. But, yeah, and the same has happened in Sylvester. So it's a credit to the lads that they've taken it and they've brought these young fellas through.
it's a frightening prospect, I think, if you're the sales management team trying to speculate whether Dermot Connolly is going to play against you or not, isn't it?
Yeah, I wouldn't like to be sitting down wondering whether he's going to play. No. He didn't play the last day now for Vincent, so right. I'm not too sure, but they'll have their hands full watching the likes of Mossy up there.
Yeah. So. Fantastic. At his age to be still doing it at the level that he is. Well, as we say, Brian, both of them are up at the top table for 2023, but the burning question in this one is who's going to be going up as champions of Senior 2?
Yeah, it's hard to know. I think, looking at it, I think probably Vincent have more mature players, you know, as I say, the likes of Mullins and Egan and Gavin Burke and these guys, and that might just push it on. But Sylvester's have some really good young fellas coming through, and also you know, have the mature guys like the Hazleys and Ronan Palmer and these guys. So the big problem for Sylvester's, I think, is that Jack Hazley, who's been playing really well around the middle of the field or full forward, got injured the last day. So he would be a huge loss for them. But I just think the experience probably goes with Vincent.
Okay, well, the best of luck to both teams there tomorrow in that one. It throws in at 2:15. It's the curtain raiser for the big one. Kilmacud Crokes, the defending champions, putting their title on the line against Nafin, who haven't won it since 2001, when you had the likes of Kieran McGeaney, Desi Farrell and Mick Galvin, Senan Connell indeed, all involved as well. First of all, Brian, when you look at the final pairing tomorrow, there's no real arguments about it, is there, that these are the best two teams in the county at the moment at this level?
Absolutely, and performing really well in the championship so far as well, you know, and improving as they go along. So I think Nafina got a bit of a shock against Whitehall, but that was a really local derby one, so it could have gone anyway. But Nafina, their improvement for the next day against Ballygodden was unbelievable, and the work that they've done in those 2 weeks was really impressive. And you know, really their tackling, their turnovers, just unbelievable against Ballyboden. And when Declan went 10 points to 1 up, you know, and it just shows the intent and maybe shows what they learned from the Whitehall game as well.
And the other side of it, Crokes in their semi-final had a very poor start, to say the least, against Thomas Davis. They were 1-1 to no score down after 4 minutes. Now they turned it around quite well in the end, minus Paul Mannion, of course, who had his surgery just the Thursday before the game. But Shane Walsh, your own county man, doing the business with 8 points for them on the afternoon. They simply can't afford a similar kind of start tomorrow, Brian, against a team of Nafina's quality.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Davis has come out of the blocks very quickly and got a goal and a point, you know, but Crokes just showed their maturity and showed their confidence that, you know, they dictated the game all the way through after that. And, you know, I think, Declan, we've talked about the talent and the ability and the work rate of that team. It's been unbelievable. But I just thought in the second half of that game that they kind of went through the motions, Declan, like they passed the ball, kept possession of the ball, didn't really go for the juggler, and they certainly can't do that the next day. Whatever about getting a slow start, they can't just you know, just keep possession and not go for it, because there's a very talented Nafina team.
I mean, Crokes are going to obviously be dependent a lot on Shane Walsh for scores, but I mean, he's going to be coming up against inter-county quality defenders tomorrow, which he hasn't been doing in the championship since he came into it, really. But from a Crokes point of view, I mean, they went all the way to the All-Ireland Club Final back in January, which unfortunately they lost to Kilcoo. It can be difficult to regroup and come at it again, but in fairness, they have, and their level of determination and hunger is admirable. But they're going to need a lot more from a lot more players around the pitch tomorrow, do you feel?
Yeah, absolutely. You have to give great credit to the lads in Kilmacud. You have to give great credit to Robbie Brennan. You know, it's not easy to come back from losing in All-Ireland, particularly like that when you're nearly there and, you know, you're caught at the last. But they've come back with great determination, come back. Their work rate is unbelievable. They have a great panel of players. They're all very skillful. And as you say, the big loss of them is Paul Mannion, but they're lucky that, you know, of course they can call on Shane Walsh to kick frees and stuff like that. But Mannion is a huge loss. But they do have other good forwards, Declan. You know, I mean, the likes of Darragh Mullen and Aidan Jones and Shane Cunningham, these fellas are really good forwards. So they'd be expecting a bit from them. And I just think, I just get the feeling that, as you said, they're going to come up against a defence with the likes of Owen Merchant, Johnny Cooper, Young O'D at full back, is a very good player as well, Ali Fitzgerald. So their forwards could be held fairly well, to be honest with you. And I think if Nafina's forwards kind of play like they did the last day, Nafina have a right chance.
For fellas like Johnny Cooper, Brian, who, you know, have won it all with Dublin over the last number of years on multiple occasions, to be representing their club in a county senior final tomorrow means, I would say, in a lot of cases, would you agree, significantly more? Because, you know, the old adage of the lads you went to school with and played football with since you were, what, 8 or 9 years of age.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I mean, winning a county championship with your club is a huge thing. No, I'd like to have an All-Ireland medal in my back pocket as well. But having said that, to win with your club, you know, as you say, you've come up with all these guys. And Johnny is now leading that group, you know. So they've been trying for a few years. They've a huge amount of talent coming through. They've been tipped to do better. So now's their chance, and I'm sure Johnny will be pushing that on. He'd be delighted to win a county championship with Nifina.
Yeah, and I'm sure that whoever comes through that game tomorrow will be very formidable opponents for clubs in the Leinster Club Championship, and hopefully a little bit further beyond into the All-Ireland Series as well. So, Brian, as I say, the north side dominating the football landscape this weekend, only the Crokes standing from the south of the river. But the burning question from this one is, where's the Cleary Cup going tomorrow? Is it going just the short distance to the Moby Road, or is it going back to Stillorgan?
Yeah, I was dreading that question, to be honest. To be honest, though, I think we've two really talented teams, and the thing is, with Crokes, they have the county championships in their back pockets already. That gives them great confidence. Nifina are trying to win it, have a hugely talented team. My head says Crokes, but my gut feeling is that Nifina could pull it.
Okay. Do you agree with Brian Talty? Let us know. Who's to say the great Galway man is going to be wrong? But one thing is certain, and I think we'll both agree on this, it's going to be a fantastic afternoon's football in the Nell tomorrow. 2:15 for St Vincent's versus Sylvester's in the Senior 2 final, and 4:30 for the big one, Crokes versus Nifina. I don't care what anybody says, this is the biggest county final in the country tomorrow. And if you can't get to the Nell, it's live on TG Cahir as well. Brian, before we go, I just want to get your thoughts on the split season, because we're in the first proper year of it this year, and we have our county finals hopefully in good weather tomorrow. Do you think that in its first year it has worked, and if you feel it hasn't worked, what can be done to improve it?
Yeah, it's a difficult question. I mean, there's a lot of discussion going on now within GA itself at the moment at a high level. Just talking to some guys that work here this morning, they're actually discussing it, and some of them are very happy. They say that the clubs are happy to have just the club season and the county season, and that split, because they have their players all the time. I like the fact that the clubs have their players all the time and they can focus on the club. There are a few things that need to be tweaked, I think, like, you know, so that's the big discussion at the moment, and I'm not sure. I like the fact that there's a split season. I miss not having All-Ireland or inter-county football later on in the year. But it seems to be working, Declan, and they're just looking at how they're going to tweak it, and there will be a few tweaks. But I think people seem to be reasonably happy with it. I'd be happy if I was a club manager anyway to have my club players all the time as well. So, there'll be discussion in the next few weeks, Declan, and there might be little tweaks, as I say.
Yeah, I think it's working. Like everything else, it's not perfect in its first year, Brian, and will require improvement, which will come. I think too many people in so many aspects of life are too quick to just jump on something and dismiss it without giving it a chance to work and be tweaked and see how it goes next year. But no doubt you'll make it across to the Nell for the big one tomorrow.
Certainly will, and there's more matches this today as well. So we have the intermediate final as well, as you said yourself, and there's a Division 2 playoff as well to see who's going to go to Division 1 between Raheny and Plunkett. So be a busy day, Dick.
Yeah, and the Crumlin under 13 hurlers have a big match against Erin's Isle this afternoon as well. So if we didn't mention that, we wouldn't be let back into the club tonight for the old point of the black stuff later on. Brian, as usual, a pleasure. Hopefully catch up with you maybe at the Nell tomorrow afternoon. Thank you very much indeed for your contribution this morning.
Thanks for listening to Dublin Stock and Sport on Sunshine 106.8 from myself, Ken and Reggie. Have a good weekend.